Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kaya Limited Q4 FY23 result conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zico. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited. Hope you all and your family are staying safe and healthy. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Suri, Global Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Rajeev Nair, Chief Executive Officer, Kaya Group, and Mr. Saurabh Shah, Chief Financial Officer. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remark, and then we would have question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi, this is Rajeev Nair here. Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I welcome you to the conference call on company's behalf. Let me begin the conference call with a short update on Q4 performance of Kaya Limited, which is already in the public domain and uploaded on our website, www.kaya.in. Kaya Limited posted consolidated revenue from operations of INR 92.6 crores for Q4 FY23, a growth of 11% over corresponding quarter. Consolidated loss after tax and before exceptional item for Q4 FY23 is INR 58 crores, which includes one-time impact of impairment of goodwill of INR 28.4 crores and towards interest on PF liability, INR 10.6 crores, as compared to loss of INR 42.6 crores in Q4 FY22. Kaya India posted a revenue from operations of INR 43.9 crores for Q4 FY23, a growth of 12% over corresponding quarter. Kaya India loss after tax and before exceptional items for the Q4 FY23 is INR 23.9 crores, which includes one-time impact of provision for impairment of assets of rupees 10.7 crores and towards interest on PF liability, INR 10.6 crores, as compared to a loss of INR 8.7 crores in Q4 FY22. Collection in India at clinic grew by 13% over last year. Collection in Middle East region grew by 5% over last year at constant currency. Business has been driven by increase in average ticket size by 20% in Kaya India and 7% in Kaya Middle East. India saw a launch of two more clinics in Q4 FY23 in Bengaluru and Siliguri. From a customer experience perspective, both regions showed strong positives with NPS reaching over 82. Innovations in the quarter contributed 8% of Kaya India clinic business and 6% of Kaya Middle East business. E-commerce showed a slowdown due to limited primary sales with our partners and growing competitive pressure with strong marketing investments from many brands on this channel. Kaya India is now a Great Place to Work certified company in 2023. We have commissioned a marketing automation project to digitize our customer journey, which includes setting up automated appointment booking, customized nudges through WhatsApp and web bots. The detailed information update is already with you. I would open the session for questions, and my colleagues and I will be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question.
Yeah. Zico, if participants start asking the question before that, I finish one or two questions which I have in mind. Sir, just wanted to understand, if I look at other discretionary categories performance during the quarter, everyone has shown some sort of improvement, including Kaya. But then if I go past two quarters, then there was a significant inflation in the commodity prices, and that had impacted overall discretionary spends. Now, Kaya being one of the known Kaya simply known as one of the discretionary categories, present in the discretionary category. How can you say the outlook? I am not talking about the care business, but sorry, cure business, but the care business, the care part which we are talking about, and the products business. Any significant improvement you are expecting going ahead in this business?
Yeah. So if you look at the India business, like you rightly said, there was inflationary pressures in the market, and obviously there's a little bit of a slowdown to that extent in terms of customer sentiment in the Feb-March period of this last quarter. What we have seen over the last 1 year post-COVID is that people's spending per transaction actually has increased. The frequency of visits have reduced a bit. So if we actually look at it in terms of ATS for this quarter as well, the average transaction for this quarter itself, we have seen almost a 20% increase over last year. So that's one thing that has happened. There are certain categories that you mentioned, like, for example, a product as a business. Yes, there has been an increase. It's not disproportionate. It is at 12.19% growth for us in product for the quarter. And another area where customers did come out very strongly post-COVID was laser hair removal, which as a category grew in terms of collection. I mean, we had a slowdown a bit in that category versus last year post a fairly large surge for the year in the first three quarters. But if you look at certain other areas which you can call as high discretionary spending, which is where people really spend a lot of money per transaction, like, for example, anti-aging, we actually saw an increase of about 38.89%. So quite a strong growth there. Fairness pigmentation category, which is again an important category for us at about 14.5%. And beauty facial, which again is a care category that, as you mentioned, has had a growth of almost 33% over last year. So I think that the major push down, I would say, why the growth has slowed down a bit is that we have seen laser hair removal in the last quarter come down a bit in terms of numbers. Otherwise, quite a few other categories have shown good growth, and ATS has shown good growth.
Sure.
We launched a new segment last quarter, which is basically the body contouring segment. Over the last 3-4 quarters, we've been consistently pushing this category. I think this category is something that has also contributed to significant growth over last year. But we will continue to invest on this category for future growth.
Sure. So second question is on this 2000 denomination. So if I look at the package size, so it's not only for you. If I look at the other companies like Mahindra Holidays or other companies, what I believe is that this 2000 rupees denomination should help the ban. 2000 rupees denomination should ban the companies which are mainly into this package kind of business. So is there any significant growth that we have seen post their announcement?
No. So this has been just over the last one weekend, right? So it's not a very long duration that we can talk about. Some set of consumers have used cash to pay, but we haven't done major campaigns around it. But of course, wherever a customer chooses to pay by cash as denomination, we are encouraging that, and clinics have been informed to ask the customers in case they would like to pay through these denominations, they're acceptable to us. Some tactical social media campaigns were done over the weekend to actually talk about this delisting of this particular currency. But I would say early days for us to judge.
And again, coming back to the products business, any increase in penetration in terms of your availability of presence that has happened during the quarter?
Yeah, so one good thing that has happened is that we've been trying to expand ourselves into the nutraceuticals space, and we have actually been doing currently on more of a pilot mode launch of collagen supplements in powdered form, and also glutathione and biotin in tablet forms. inside the clinic, and now that category has already taken up 25 to 30% of the product sales in clinic in the last quarter has actually come through nutraceuticals as a category. So what is actually happening is, alongside topical application and cosmeceuticals, we do believe that people are looking to ingest certain parts of these things as collagen supplements. So beauty from inside is something that people are kind of promoting, and it could be a very large opportunity category going forward.
Sure. Ziko, now you can take further questions. I'll come back in the queue. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Sakshi Chhabra from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I wanted to just understand that for the coming year, what are our CapEx plans? Like, we see that you have increased debt also on the books. So what are our plans going forward? I wanted to understand on opening new clinics as well as on the product side.
Yeah. So a couple of things. I won't give you long-term indications, but I'll tell you which are the areas of focus for us. Post-COVID, we are trying to refurbish our clinics to some extent and improve the infrastructure of certain clinics that we have. In some cases, we are trying to expand capacity by relocation of the clinics from smaller clinics to slightly larger clinics. Tactically, where there is an opportunity and the clinics are sustainable and profitable. That's one part that we're doing. And the bigger focus for us is actually investment on technology, which is machines, where we are doing a complete upgrade of some of our old technology in the clinic. And largely, these are going to impact categories like fairness pigmentation, laser hair removal, and a few innovations that we bring over the next couple of years. Expansion, we have already done about 4 clinics, out of which 2 were launched in the last quarter. So we opportunistically will look at expansion now into tier 2, tier 3 cities. Because some of the cities, while we are present in more than 20 cities right now, there are certain cities that we have not expanded into. We are looking at that. And in some cases, we are going into more than one clinic in the same geography. For example, we now have 2 clinics in Surat. We have 2 clinics in Lucknow. So we are looking at that as the thing. But of course, profitability will drive all of this. So as long as the market shows potential and there is feasibility, only then we will go for those opportunities.
And sir, do you see a lot of difference in the average ticket size between a tier 1 and a tier 2 city?
In our case, not really. Actually, what we do believe that because the penetration in smaller cities is, say, maybe one clinic in a city, we are still not completely saturated some of these markets. So in terms of pricing, we don't see major difference. There may be certain categories which may be a little bit more elastic to pricing, and we have seen some differences in those categories. So for example, laser pricing between one market to another could be different, but when it comes to high discretionary spends like anti-aging, we don't see much of a difference between tier 1 tier 2 cities.
Okay, all right. And can you quantify the amount that you'll be spending in the in FY24 on your capex plans?
Currently we could not be able to comment on this one.
Okay, and around how many new clinics do you plan to open?
So currently we have opened 4. We have identified multiple geographies for expansion. But since that will be also forward-looking, I think as we go into every quarter and we would be launching, we'll keep you updated on the same.
Okay. So, and also I wanted to just understand this subsidiary on which you've taken an impairment. Can you just throw some light on that?
Yeah, sure. So this impairment what we have taken is based on the subsidiary performance, and as in when the scenario of performance improves, the things will be considered and factored into later.
But this subsidiary is based in Middle East or in India, because there's some impact which is showing on the India books, and there's some impact which is also showing in Middle East, right?
So one is the investment and one is the goodwill. In India books is the investment and the console book is the goodwill.
Okay, so it's actually the subsidiary in Middle East which is Okay.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, just wanted to understand on certain unit economics. So we have opened about 2 clinics in last quarter, and we'll open about 2 to 4 going forward. So any thoughts from your side? How much time does it take? Or what is the like payback period for opening a new clinic? How much time it takes to break even? Anything on those lines, on the unit economics?
So Yogesh, hi, Saurabh here. On a cash generating scenario, you know, for a clinic to make EBITDA positive, it depends on the vicinity where we are placed. It depends upon 12 months to within 12 months at least EBITDA becomes positive. And from payback and everything, it takes between 1.5 year or maybe 2 years on the cash perspective.
Sure, sir. And sir, in terms of growth, which will be the segment, main segments which will, if I take a 3 year period, which will be the main segments which will actually drive over top line going forward?
Yeah, so obviously the main skin categories will continue to grow, but one category of focus for us will be body contouring. We are making some investments in the category and we are also expanding this category to multiple cities. So over the last quarter, we also added this category into areas like Gujarat, Hyderabad, and in Tamil Nadu, which is in Chennai. So expansion will be, focus will be on body as one of the verticals that will be there, besides quite a few of our core categories in skin.
Okay, and sir, lastly on like the India realizations increased by about 20% approximately.
What is it when you say realization?
Yeah, I mean to say the spending in the India business increased by 20%. As you mentioned in the opening remark.
No.
One second, I just 12%. Just one second.
Yes. 12% it was.
No, the business was up 12%. So ticket size. Sorry, you're talking about the ticket size transaction value, right?
Yes. Transaction value.
Understood. Yeah, can you please complete
the question?
Yeah.
Yes, so was there any change in mix which led to this 20% increase? What would be the driver for this?
Yeah, so one of the main things is, couple of our core categories actually gave us very high sales. For example, anti-aging as a business last quarter grew by about 40% over previous year, about 38.89%, which was an increase which led us to improvement in terms of ATS, average transaction value. Then, of course, fairness pigmentation, another category, grew by about 14.62%. And beauty facials, we reduced our discounts and we automatically realized better results. So we got about a 33.6% uplift on that category. And we also launched body contouring in a larger way. And body contouring average ticket sizes are much higher than that of other services.
Sure, sir. That is very helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wondering, what is the path to profitability out here considering...
Mr. Dhananjay, sorry to interrupt. May we request you to use the handset?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better. Please go ahead.
So what's the path to profitability going ahead now? How are we seeing that as a company and what levers do we have or are we,
Sorry, Dhananjay, your question is regard to path to profitability and what is the second part?
That's it. Only that. What are the levers that?
Yeah. So I think one is, of course, translating to higher productivity within our clinics. Basically, one of the things that is there about our business is getting more utilization of our assets inside the clinic. So very large part is on how to increase the net revenue based on productivity within the business. To that end, we are also making some investments in technology to improve our time taken per service. That's one thing that we're doing. Second is to increase the count of customers inside the clinic. That's the reason why we are going for marketing automation to ensure things like appointment bookings and all are digitized, and we can increase the quantum of flow of customers inside the business. Third is products as a vertical we'll continue to invest on, and we will actually add more segments into that category, which is areas like nutraceuticals, as I mentioned. Body and hair vertical are two categories which are doctor-led services and based on technology. And these are not so easily replicable services in the market because it needs expertise, are areas that we will also work on. And last but not the least, I think optimization of cost at all ends is something that we would be looking at. So it could be labor costs, it could be cost towards rentals, will be something that we are constantly assessing and trying to do. Tier two expansions and looking at markets opportunistically where the cost structures of running a business are lower is something that we are doing. So for example, when we go to smaller tier cities like Siliguri or for that matter Lucknow, the cost of rent are much lower than that of what happens in bigger cities. So I think these are a mix of various things that we are trying to do at the moment to build in profitability in the business.
So just along those lines, has there been, you think, like you mentioned that, okay, now let's, for example, one thing you mentioned.
Mr. Dhananjay, your audio is not clear.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So one thing you mentioned was that, okay, now let's say improving order flow, and has that been ever a hindrance during services where, like, people have orders have not been able to be done or something? Because I'm just wondering now, it's been many years since this company started, and like, what has been like tangible improvement we've seen in the last 5-7 years on the same aspect?
No, actually, productivity in the clinics has gone up. There is still potential, so it's not like we're losing customer opportunity to service at the moment. So there is enough open capacity available. We have to utilize the capacity better, which means the fact that flow of customer traffic is extremely crucial, and that is what we will be focusing our energies on. So I think the whole effort of ours in the next 1.5 years would be towards improving the flow of new customer count in the clinic. That will help us increase utilization of the assets that we have. And of course, on the asset side, we're improving the quality of the assets, especially machines, so that the time taken to achieve the service is reduced. And then, of course, automation in terms of customers' ability to book appointments to be eased out, because with more technology and more control with the customer, the opportunity of taking appointments, changing appointments, managing appointments becomes that much more easier. So I think those are areas that we are trying to work on at the moment.
So,
and sweat our assets more, actually. I mean, that's in simple terms, utilize our assets more is what we are trying to do.
No, but let's say now it's been 6-7 years since this company's IPO, and we've been hearing the same thing. The revenues are still at Q4 90-100 crores. Nothing much has changed, and we're still talking about the same thing. Is it inherently that the business is more doctor-led or more a specific person in a clinic where this is not letting us grow because people prefer to go to the person who they're more comfortable with? Or what exactly would you say is the problem? Let's say it's been 6-7 years since you have listed. What has been the problem that the revenue is not growth since then?
Yeah, I think, growing customer footfall on a regular basis is something that has, that is the key requirement of the business. And get customers into the clinic, and footfall is very important, because if you look at it, all the existing customer metrics in the business are very good. So if you see, there are maybe very few services businesses that you will see today with NPS scores as high as 82-83, and customers have stayed with us, existing customers, for more than 5-6 years as well. So point is, the fundamental model that we offer, even if it doesn't mean that it's the same doctor running for 10 years and 15 years, I think there's quite a good amount of trust in the brand. It's just the fact that it is a premium service, and you need to drive an X amount of feet into the clinic regularly to build more traffic for the future. And that's the place where I think we are trying to work more and more on.
So then, would it be fair to assume that this is early compared to where India's potential could be, or is it be that even after having such high NPS scores, the company now supposed to not be able to generate money? So is it that are we giving service too cheap? What do you think is the issue?
No, I think partly what you're saying is correct. I wouldn't want to say that we are at the same place where we were 5 years ago in terms of customer awareness of the category. Of course, there are many individual standalone clinics or dermatologists who would be there in the business, but this category is also getting more and more organized. You know, there is more interest in the category that is coming up as of today because there is belief in the potential of the segment for the future. Many of the services are something that people have seen a journey from purely buying products or going for only pure salon services to get into dermatology service. So in that sense, it's a more evolved market in comparison to what a salon business actually is. So definitely India poses a tremendous opportunity and scale over time. Of course, things like COVID and others over the last 5 years have kind of put a little bit of a break on the momentum. But I'm sure after post-COVID, this will definitely keep, showing positive signs. And plus, whatever innovation that is coming internationally, we are trying to bring those innovations to the country. So as I said, the body vertical will see certain machines that we are bringing into the market, which are, a best in class. So I would say we have to keep innovating. We have to keep giving reasons for customers to keep coming into the business. But I would say the movement towards dermatology business is definitely happening.
Okay. And thank you for that. And for the last one, for the product business, how are you seeing that come along? Because our product business, we've seen so many new startups coming without the Marico brand name who managed to scale up much quicker than we have. What are we missing on that segment?
Yeah, only difference is that we have been largely focused on our clinic business and we have not gone into the GTMT expansion, which we did before COVID, but unfortunately during COVID, we had to shut that business down. And the other vertical that you're talking about is e-commerce. E-commerce, we see good amount of growth as a market, but also needs significant investments on scaling, right? So basically all the D2C brands that you see around us have first put in tons of money towards initially burning cash and then getting the growth happening, which we have not done. Our focus has been on clinics. And we continue to focus on the clinic business, but at some point we will definitely, push our business for e-commerce. And at this stage we have started our D2C venture about one and a half years ago, and we will continue to do that. Now we also started omni-channel in that respect, which means customers can buy online, offline. Are we going to put tremendous amount of money behind growing in the partner retail, partner e-commerce channels? Maybe at the current level we won't. So I think the business growth will largely be driven by the growth in clinics and at some point through our D2C vertical.
And how much of your sales would come from, like how much sales you all do on Nykaa just roughly?
A specific number, I think about 60% of our business comes between Amazon and Nykaa average per month.
Of the e-commerce business.
Because if you think about this, the scope is quite big in this company. I'm just wondering, is it too early on its time in terms of the service part, or is the execution not going well? Because the brand name is super strong. We all know the Marico brand name. And you all also have a stake the parent in Nykaa. So that also is potential. We're seeing multiples of brands being catered on Nykaa. So then why is this one not being able to crack it yet is the multi-dollar question.
Yeah. Now, it's a more complex business than a product business alone. So to that extent, there is a lot of complexity of the type of business. The awareness levels of customers are growing. There are many, low-price options that are available in the market. But we are approaching it like a brand. So, of course, we are not the cheapest in the market and we don't even claim to be or want to be the cheapest in the market. So we'll keep sustaining on the brand story and keep building on the brand story and look at more expansion into more territories that we are not currently present in. So our footprint as a brand will try and increase. But beyond that, I think it's a market which has an opportunity to grow according to us and we'll continue to invest on those areas.
So I think the cheapest thing is a little myth because we've seen other brands who've been more expensive who've done well. So I think that's not an issue.
No, not really. Actually, if you look at the dermatology space, it is not necessary that every brand out there is actually in the super premium space.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we continue to, but what I am talking about is the fact that there has been a mushrooming of individual clinics which are there out there in the market, which are playing maybe more the price game, which we are not in at the moment. So we are not acquiring at any cost and acquiring at the cost of maybe making the services very accessible at a lower price. We are maintaining a mid to premium price positioning, and we'll continue to do that.
By when do you think you will be able to break even on a consolidated basis, at least on the EBIT level?
It would be too early to give us this response currently because we are putting our effort to that direction. So maybe gradually, as and when we move based on the performance, the number should improve.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. I'll get back in for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Ajay Vora from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. If you can just give a sense in terms of what can be our annual run rate on both finance cost and employee cost for this year.
Okay. From just hold on.
So I'm talking about FY24, the ongoing fiscal year.
It depends. So fiscal for 24, I cannot be comment, but it would be pretty much in line with what is going in 23.
Okay, so when we say pretty much, meaning either single digit or broadly flat.
It may be because, you know, in the finance cost, it comes as a consumer finance cost also. So our business, 15 in India, around 15 to 16% also business comes from consumer finance. If that contribution goes up, then also the cost increases. There are multiple factors built up in the finance cost.
So this year the finance cost was somewhere around 36 crores. How much would that be consumer financing cost over here?
Consumer finance cost would be around in India would be around 3 to 3.5 crore.
For the full year. Okay. So I'm saying for FY24, so can you also help with what is the gross debt right now?
Gross debt is around 150 crore considering both the entity.
Okay. And what would be the cost of that?
It depends upon 8 to 11%.
On the entire amount?
No, it's a split. Maybe one third is on 11% and the balance is on 8%.
Okay. So still the finance cost looks very high, right, sir?
Oh, yeah, because there's a lease cost also comes into question.
Okay.
So there's one, look at, if you like this quarter, there's a exceptional cost also we have booked. Which is for PF liability interest, which is around 10.5 paise. So if you look at on average.
Yeah, I'm saying when you say that it will be the same for this year as well, because that includes the PF liability of 10 crores.
No,
so ideally
that,
next
that's
year.
We highlighted it's exceptional cost, we can remove it, and on that basis you can take it.
So next year the overall interest cost should be lower quite.
Yeah. So if you remove the exceptional cost, then it will be lower.
Yeah. And similarly for employee cost also, you think it will be same or it should be lower next year?
So the cost would be, you know, there would be escalation which comes into picture from the employee front, which range into, you know, 5 to 8%. Because of that, can the cost go up?
And just lastly, you know, are we almost done with the whole impairment of the international assets, or there is more to come in couple of next quarters as well?
So currently, I would not be able to comment on that part because it depends upon how we evaluate the scenario on the performance.
What would be the gross block right now on the international assets?
Gross block on international
assets. Just can you give me 2 minutes?
Yeah.
It's around 126 million AED, including, you know, the lease assets. And if you look at if you look without that, it would be around 80 million 80 million around 160, roughly.
160 crores.
Yeah.
Okay. And just lastly, I just want to, you know, understand in terms of a long-term thought process, is the management comfortable with the current pace of expansion, meaning like 2 to 4 clinics per quarter, and we are more or less, you know, dependent on how the cash flows are and considering the debt also what we have. Is there any alternative plan where, you know, where the company is really gunning for higher growth through expansion and look for alternatives for overall funding of that growth? What is the overall thought process over here?
So basically, you know, the currently the funding which is in India is basically towards expansion. But for futuristic scenario, currently I can't comment, but the objective is to, you know, do brand refresh technology with Rajiv and I are already briefed. So, you know, the strategy towards the business is, you know, brand refresh, new clinics, investment in infrastructure. That's the objective what we're looking across.
Yeah, but that all would be dependent on the internal cash flows, which has its own limitations. So in case if we are looking at a much bigger opportunity, is there a thought process to grow through alternative funding and grow, you know, aggressively, expand aggressively?
So currently I would not be able to comment key what would be that strategy. Maybe as and when during the course of the financial year, in case something turns up on a public domain, we'll just announce it.
Okay. But internally that definitely is something, you know, on the mind, right?
So we acknowledge your point. We have that thought process in mind, what we are trying to tell, but currently we don't have anything concrete in place. So I would not be able to comment, you know, we are currently focusing on the current cash flow, what we have and how we are going to expand. We are concentrating currently on that part to generate the cash flow.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. That was the last question of our question and answer session. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. Just one moment, please. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all for participating in the conference call. Thank you very much, indeed. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.